Title of the sermon is Doing Thyself Harm by Refusing to Accept the Truth. You know, you think about it, there's a lot of different ways in which a person can do themselves harm. Many of you, in looking up, saw me just slip a cough drop into my mouth. And my prayer is that it does not do me harm by slipping down my throat while I'm talking. Your prayer might be that I'm not like the preacher who one time said he didn't know how long to preach, and another preacher told him, put a cough drop or something in your mouth, and when it dissolves, you're finished. And he mistakenly reached in his pocket and pulled out a button. And he preached until he realized, hey, this thing's not dissolving. I'm not going to do that this morning. But we are going to talk about doing thyself harm. As I said, there are many different ways in which a person may do themselves harm. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, which is our text this morning, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said many things about the truth while he was here on the earth, because he came to give truth to us, to help us to see that truth will deliver us. But many harm themselves by refusing to accept the truth, by refusing to live by it. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus again praying. He prayed on behalf of the apostles elect, and this is what he desired as he spoke to his heavenly Father. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But we must know that truth, albeit available, will not do us any good unless we are begotten by it and unless we embrace it. James chapter 1 verse 18 informs us that we are indeed born of truth if we accept it and if we are obedient to it. It reads, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. All those who have been born into the kingdom of God have done so as they were begotten by the word of truth, and thereby put themselves in a place in which whatever harm might befall them, be it physical, would not adversely affect them. Those who love and respect the truth will linger long at the fountain and often drink deeply of its living waters. The Spirit in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2 had the psalmist worded this way, contemplating those that love God's truth. He had him right, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. I guarantee you, you can talk to somebody for just a few minutes, and if the question or the subject of a Bible situation comes up, you can tell in just a few moments whether or not a person delights in the law of the Lord. Whether or not a person meditates day and night upon that word, because they will know it. You know, such meditation is necessary for one to understand fully the truth that God has given us. I have been approached by a number of people on a number of occasions and says, you know, I just don't understand the Bible. Usually my response to them is, how often do you read, or how much do you study? Well, I try, but I don't understand it, so I set it aside. Oh, I haven't quit yet. But one must understand the truth before he or she can apply it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, God also gave instructions through the Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, as to how to properly understand the truth. You cannot understand the truth unless you study it. Timothy was told, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a very serious thing to reject the truth of God, and in so doing, one is clearly doing themselves harm. Some who reject God's truth still want the spiritual blessings God has offered through Christ. You see, they want the blessings, but they don't want to put forth any effort. They want the blessings, but they don't want to follow what God said. They want the blessings, but they don't want to be bothered with the time it takes to learn the Word of God. It doesn't work that way. But even before Christ came to the earth, The Spirit in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9 tells how one harms themselves by refusing God's truth. There it is written, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Those who were born into the family of Abraham had the privilege of prayer. They were the children of God. They were the children of promise. They were God's chosen people. But if they turn away their ear from the law, their prayer was abomination. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus speaks so that we should know the truth. We should know what it is, but that we should also know the penalty for rejecting it. He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. There will be countless numbers of souls who will stand before the Son of God in judgment, who will have rejected his word while here on earth and fully expect, perhaps, that God's going to say through his Son, it's okay. That's not what Jesus said. If you reject him, you don't receive his words. And there's one that judges you. And it's the word that he has spoken. It will judge in the last day. So how we treat God's word definitely will be the determining factor in our salvation. There are those that think they can go through life and they can reject the word of God, or they can ignore the word of God, and they fully expect to be saved. It doesn't work that way. If we gladly receive it, as the folks did on Pentecost, or some of them did, we will love it. We will respect it. We will obey it in our daily lives. And it will show. We will know. Others will know whether or not we have done ourselves harm by refusing to accept the truth. But if we spurn it, reject it, or cast it aside as unimportant, we condemn ourselves, and we will come face to face with it at the judgment. You know, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, we read that Jesus was greatly moved as he thought about the inhabitants of the holy city, Jerusalem, and their rejection of the way and the truth and the life. You know, there are many things in this life that can produce what we call a broken heart. Imagine, if you will, coming, separating yourself from the glory of God, which you had had from the beginning, humbling yourself and coming to be born as man, and to see even the chosen people of God at that particular time rejecting God's word. They've done themselves harm. His words show his great care for these people of God. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. It's not that the opportunity was not there. Time and time again the prophets had been sent to call Israel back to repentance. Time and time again, Israel had refused. Why? Because they were willing to harm themselves by refusing to accept the truth. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 2, we have God's words there concerning Israel, which show they harmed themselves by rejecting the way of God. And when they followed their own desires, they rejected God. He said, through that particular prophet, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. Now, previously, God had made a promise to humanity. Because every thought of man's heart was evil continually, he at one time destroyed every man, woman, and child that was not on the ark. He destroyed all the land animals and the creeping things that were not on the ark. And then he made a promise to Noah that he would no longer do that. But man's thoughts continue to return to that which is evil, to the point that they harm themselves by rejecting the truth, the Word of God. From these two scriptures we just read, we can see that God and Christ are grieved when people go wrong. If you have those in your family who one time walked the way of truth and light and now no longer do so, you know what grief is. But there's another hurt that exists in this situation. When people reject the truth, they not only hurt those who love them, they hurt themselves. How tragic it is when a person throws their soul away because they don't want to obey the inspired Word of God. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, we read the question that the Lord asked about the value of a soul. About anything today that you can think of or articulate, you can put a value on. There are those that make money by coming up with new thoughts. I'm told there are those that somehow make money by blogging. I don't quite understand how that works. People don't want to listen to the good things you say. But what did Jesus say about the value of a soul? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I've said it before in sermons when using this passage. It is very surprising at times how little it takes for one to sell their soul. And when someone has sold their soul, they have done irreparable harm. But one does not have to sell his or her soul to be condemned. All they have to do is ignore or reject the Word of God, and that soul will be lost for eternity. Many scriptures urge us not to disregard the truth, and others show the sad plight of those who do not heed the wonderful message. Perhaps a review of those will help us today. First, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. It's an oft-used passage, and therefore somewhat familiar, but the admonition given there is needed . The Spirit directed the penman at that point to write. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. First, he said, fear God and keep His commandments. And then he was directed to write, for this is the whole of man, or this is the whole duty of man. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Listen, those that embrace the truth, that love the truth, that obey the truth, they are fearing God. They have a respect for God, and they're going to keep His commandments. But those who do not harm themselves. In James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, we're advised by the Bible to listen and to contemplate before we speak or before we act. I was often told as a child, son, you have two ears and one mouth. That means you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. It's kind of the same idea, isn't it? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. To speak or act irresponsibly shows that one is going against God. Shows that one is refusing to accept the truth. Shows that one is willing to harm themselves for whatever it is they desire. From Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14, we understand that to fear God is the formula to happiness. Throughout this whole world that we live in, people are in search of happiness. What makes you happy? Well, the answer to that is as different as individuals. There are different things that make people happy. But ultimately, what is it that's going to make one happy? Well, this passage tells us, happy is that man that feareth alway. Feareth whom? Feareth God. And keeps His commandments. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. As you turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22, We'll see that when Josiah became king of Judah, God's people were in a state of confusion and sin. It happened frequently. The temple had been desecrated. Its services had been discontinued. But one day Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law in the temple, and he told Shaphan the scribe. In verse 13 of 2 Kings chapter 22, we find that Josiah was very disturbed by so many losing contact with God. And therefore he gave instructions to Hilkiah and to others. And in verse 13 we read those instructions. Go ye and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Why? Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. Then as we look to 2 Kings chapter 23, we can see a number of things that Josiah did to point the people back to God. I often think it's kind of like this. When a group of people has gone the wrong way, it's akin to turning a battleship around. And if you've ever seen a battleship around, you don't turn a battleship around in 10 feet of water. It takes a long curve to turn back in the opposite direction. A great deal of effort has to be employed. Verses 4 through 7 show that Josiah was quite serious in doing all that he could to help the people of Israel to stop rejecting the word of God and thereby harming themselves. The king commanded Hilkiah the priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven, and he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the palaces round about Jerusalem, or whom the kings of Judah, had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out of the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem into the brook of Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it into small powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. He shook Israel up. At least the part of it that lived there. Then in verse 10 of chapter 23, we find that he also forbade the parents to offer their children in sacrifice to Molech. Israel had sunk to such a low place that they were actually participating in sacrificing their children. He defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. As we jump forward to verse 21 in 2 Kings 23, we read where he restored the keeping of the Passover in accordance with the law. The king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God as it is written in the book of this covenant. If we wanted to continue reading, if we wanted to continue going through the Acts of Josiah, we can see in verse 24 that no effort was spared to rid Judah and Jerusalem of the things contrary to God's law. Why? He didn't want the people to harm themselves. He didn't want to be a participant in harming the people of God. What did he do? Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and wizards and the image and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which are written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of God. The book of God is lost to many religious people today because they never take time to read it. I've been in homes where I, were I inclined to do so, could write my name in the dust on the Bible that was sitting on the coffee table. What does that tell me? Invariably, the excuse would be, but you know, I bought a tablet, and I have my Bible on my tablet. Or I have a Bible in my bedroom, or I have this, or I have that. Well, if you dust the coffee table, at least you can do is dust the Bible. My point is that people don't take time to read the Bible. What happens? What happens when people don't take time to stay in the Word of God? They harm themselves. Why? Because they are not accepting the truth. They're refusing God's Word. When this happens, their children also do not know the Word of God. The generation loses respect for God, and then they pass it on to their children. And before you know it, we have a godless society. Hey, it's not that far from it now. Josiah didn't do right because he had righteous parents. Go back and you read prior to where we've read, you'll find out his parents were not righteous. But why was he righteous? Very simple. He wanted to do what God said to do and serve in accordance to God's word. Just think of the difference that one man made in Judah. Oh yes, he was a man of authority. He was a man who had the power. He could say to the priests and to the scribes and to these people and to those people, do this and do that. But I suspect that he had a very active hand in carrying out those things that he commanded be done so that the people come back to God. What if we stood up like that? Oh, I can hear the excuses now. But I'm just one person. I'm just a small voice. I don't think anybody's ever said that to me, have they? You just got a small voice. No. But you get my point. We can make a difference if we dare to take a stand for the right. You know, the Bible is full of examples of folks who would not let the truth be unknown, be unobserved when they once learned what that book teaches. Everybody knows about Moses. You see, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5, he's an example of this. He was raised in the house of the daughter of Pharaoh. But after God approached him and told him what God wanted Moses to do, he began, as men do, to make excuses. I think one of the excuses was, I don't talk very well. God said, that's okay. I'll send your brother. But they won't accept me. Oh, yeah, they will. And he showed them how to do it. Finally, Moses accepted the truth, and he did God's will, and he led Israel from Egyptian bondage. Hebrews 3:5 says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Then in verses 8 and 9, we can see the warning not to do the harm that Israel did by not adhering to the Word of God. Notice how it is said, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, and in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. For 40 years, God provided for Israel like no other people have ever been provided. Their shoes did not wear out while they were walking all over that desert as God led them. In fact, it was not that far from Egypt to Canaan as the crow flies. But as God led them and directed them, because of their wickedness, because of their sin, because they had harmed themselves by not doing what God had said, God still showed them favor. Why, he even fed them the whole time. Despite all the warnings not to turn from the truth, people throughout the ages have determined to follow their own inclinations. Sometimes we see things when they happen and we're surprised, but it's just the nature of some people. Why? Because they're harming themselves. They refuse to accept the truth. They refuse to live by the truth. They refuse to obey what God has said to do. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, we see that there is no excuse for harming ourselves by refusing to accept the truth. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then in verse 25, we see how foolish these folks were. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. I think there's some of that going on today. according to this passage, is quite foolish.
Why?
Because they refuse to accept the truth. And in so doing, they're harming themselves. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 6, Paul and those with him went to the Jews who, in rejection of the truth, blasphemed. And so doing, they harmed themselves. You see, the Jews were the kind of people who had been looking for the Messiah. They'd been told about the Messiah. It had been prophesied in their law. And they knew that the Messiah was coming. But they had conjured up in their own minds the idea of how the Messiah would arrive, what he would do when he got here, and how that they, the kingdom of Israel, would be lifted up. When Jesus didn't provide that, they didn't care for him a whole lot. And when Paul and those with him came to preach Jesus, these people blasphemed. And so Paul and those with him heard their rejection, and they turned to the Gentiles who would hear, some of them, and who would follow some of them. And when they opposed themselves in blasphemy, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. In other words, you've had your opportunity. You've had your chance. You still have the chance. But I'm not wasting time with you right now because you refuse. You reject God. You reject his word. I am clean from henceforth. I will go into the Gentiles. Romans chapter 10 verses 1 through 3 tells of Paul's desire for his own people. But as long as they rejected God's truth, his desire for them could not be fulfilled. You know, we all, every one of us, want our loved ones to be saved. If we were to ask, would you, what do you think about this loved one or that loved one? Are you okay with them being lost? Not a one of us is going to say, well, you know, whatever, it don't matter. Oh, no, no. We have the desire that they be saved. Paul had the same desire. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, and that is a good desire. However, because of the reality of the fact that they rejected God, because of the reality of the fact, reality to the effect that they were harming themselves, this is what we have written. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Where's that knowledge come from? From the Word of God. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In short order, Paul had said, they're hurting themselves. They've rejected God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us what to always do simply because folks harm themselves by rejecting the truth. And then verses 3 and 4 tell us why it's necessary to do so. As the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write this to Timothy, a young preacher, he wrote words that should be given to every Christian. Because whether or not we stand in the pulpit, we do preach. But especially to those who are going to fill a pulpit, they're directed to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. When people turn their ears away from the truth, they harm themselves. When people reject the truth or do not accept the truth, they harm themselves. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, we see that God will allow all who desire to refuse the truth to do so. But he also warns that because of one's persistence in this, they will perish. And that is a fact. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Throughout this world today, there are people meeting. There are people meeting and preaching and teaching some man-made doctrine. And as they are doing so, they're saying, we're serving God. We're doing His will. What does this passage just say? It is possible to believe a lie, folks. And how are you going to know if it's a lie? If the Bible does not teach it, and if the Bible does not support it, it is a lie. And the truth of the matter is, if the Bible teaches anything, anywhere, it also supports it other places. Notice he said that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That which is not righteousness is unrighteousness. No matter how holy it looks, no matter how holy men think it is, indeed, it is unrighteousness. From this last scripture, we can clearly conclude that the strong delusion follows rejection of the truth because there is no love for the truth. Those who love the truth will not tolerate a false doctrine. Those who love the truth will not harm themselves by refusing to accept the truth, but will stand against false doctrine. Just think of the Pharaoh of Moses' time. He was dead set against doing what God had sent word for him to do. It was a very simple request. Now, all he saw was the ramifications. Let my people go. That was the message that Moses brought to him. The message that God gave Moses to bring to the Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh say? No. Why? Many reasons. Who's going to make my brick? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Who's this person that's telling me to let these people go? Every time he received a message from Moses and Aaron, he resisted the message. Therefore, it is said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But we all need to understand the sense in which this is said. God hardened Pharaoh's heart because, or in the sense that everything that God said, Pharaoh was determined not to do it. In other words, Pharaoh was determined to not accept the truth. What happened to Pharaoh? You know, I think people misunderstand, and I think the Ten Commandments movie is at fault. Because Pharaoh stood up there and he watched all his soldiers die and float. When the waters came back in, Pharaoh went back home and mourned the death of his son. Ain't the way it happened at all. Read the biblical account. You'll find out all of them perished. But the hearts of thousands are hardened in that same way today. They are determined to refuse to hear and accept the Word of God. Well, I didn't put a button in my mouth. My cough drop's just about gone. But I want to ask you a question before we conclude this morning. Who do we hurt most when we reject the truth? We're not hurting God. Oh, it grieves Him. He wants all of humanity to be saved. He loved the world so much. When I say that, I mean the people of the world. He loved them so much that He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross. The answer is obvious. We hurt ourselves. And since it is truth that sets us free, let's be sure to let it have its free course in our lives. Let it have a place in our lives to the point that we are happy that we received it. Let's be careful to live by it. Let's be careful to walk in it. Because, as we've already pointed out, we will be judged by it. And the truth is indestructible because it is everlasting. Don't do yourself harm this morning by refusing to accept the truth. One final question, and then some instructions, and the sermon will be yours. Won't you be obedient to the gospel this morning? If you have not been obedient to the gospel, you need to be. Your soul depends upon it. But you also must remain faithful. At the conclusion of a sermon, if it's a good sermon. The gospel plan of salvation is laid out so that there's no question as to what to do. I've oftentimes been in places and been appalled by well-established preachers that have said, if you need to come, come while we stand and sing the invitation song. Well, what are they coming for? If you come down that aisle this morning, I want you to come fully aware of why you're coming. Because you don't want to do yourself harm. You don't want to refuse to accept the truth. You must hear the word of God, Romans 10:14. The Apostle Paul was directed to write, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We also are to believe. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must hear, we must believe, we must also repent. In Acts 17:30, we're told in the times of this ignorance God winked at. But notice what it says now. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Having heard, believed, and repent, one is to confess. Not that we're sinners, the Bible tells us that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we're to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:10, we read, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That means you've not gotten there yet. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us how one can be saved. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Having done these things, you've not harmed yourself. In fact, you've used the Word of God to put you in a covenant relationship with the Father. But once you have done that, you're not finished. You can still harm yourself. One has to remain faithful. In 2 Timothy 4:6-8, the Apostle Paul was directed to write, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Because of this, the crown of righteousness waits. Not only him, but all that love his appearing. This morning, if you're not a child of God, know that we want you to be. Know also that God wants you to be. If you are a child of God and you've allowed yourself to become mired in sin, you've allowed sin to come into your life, know also that you have separated yourself from God, and that's nobody's fault but your own. You've done yourself harm. But you have the opportunity this morning, if you are a child of God, to return to him in repentance and prayer. We're told this in Acts 8:22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the invitation song. And if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come now.